Now, Jim Plansberg will introduce our speaker this morning.
It's my pleasure to introduce today's speaker, Jennifer Confrist. I feel like we're almost related because both of our dads covered politics back in the day for the Associated Press and the Des Moines Register. Jennifer is the House Democratic leader in the state legislature. She covers, represents Clive, West Des Moines, and Windsor Heights. She's now currently, when she's not at the Capitol, beating her head against the wall. She's a professor of strategic political communications at Drake University. And Jennifer resides in Windsor Heights with her husband, Lee, and has two adult children, Ellie and James. Jennifer, welcome.
Hello, good morning. I'm so glad to be here. Hi, everybody. I am not a morning person, so I'm just going to let you know that this all happened because I had had a couple drinks at Saddle Bingo in July, and Jim was like, hey, do you want to come to this speech? And I was like, yeah, what could go wrong? It couldn't be at 6:50 the Friday before session, could it? No. But I am thrilled to be here. I legit, now that I'm up, it's great. You guys get so much done in the morning. I have no idea. I am thrilled to be here. And I know so many people in this room. I recognize so many old friends, new friends. And some of you might know me from the times that I'm on TV bashing the governor, which is as often as I can. And some of you might know me from Iowa PBS. So I used to work there during the Downton Abbey days. And so I'm not doing that now, but I do encourage you to call 800-779-7000 and support the network that really does provide great programming. But that's what I did for them, was I tried to get people to donate. I'm not asking you to do that today, but you should. And but I now have this job, and I was elected first in 2018, and have been up at the Capitol since then. It feels like 6 years and 600 years. But I'll tell you that this last legislative session, and I want to get right to the meat of it because I know this is what's on your minds and your hearts. And last legislative session was really tough. And so before I go any farther, I need to say unequivocally, without hesitation, that there is a state legislator in this room who wants you here, welcomes you here, and knows that you belong here. And I am not alone. So please, whatever these people say at the Capitol, know that you are welcome here and we want you here contributing to this community. Please don't leave us, is the bottom line. Okay. So know that. Don't let what they say give you an impression that that's how we all think. You know that, but it can feel really rough. I know. So last year, there were about 31 LGBTQ bills, anti-LGBTQ bills at the Capitol. Six of them became law, which is a great credit to the work of One Iowa and our Democratic coalition of people who are fighting these every day. But it's six too many. One of the bills that passed was a ban on gender-affirming care. You all know this. It was my hardest day in the legislature, and I am in no way pretending that I have it harder than the people who are dealing with the consequences of this legislation. But when One Iowa, when Iowa Safe Schools, when folks come to the Capitol, they use my office as a sort of safe space. So it's when people are having a hard time talking to their Republican representative, and in this case, that's what they're doing, they might come to our office for a moment of calm or a moment of sort of safety. And I see those kids in my office. I see my nephew. I see other kids. And I know the impact that legislation like this has on those kids. It was devastating. The party of parental choice chose to take away the rights of parents to make this decision for their kids with their doctors. And this all is because of culture war and politics, right? So there are people at the Capitol committed to using your lives and the lives of the people you know and love as bait to get far-right base votes. And that's not acceptable. So I want you to know that we see what's happening. We see that this is politics. And we're going to call them out for it every chance we get. The way we won against some of these bills last year was by having people tell stories. And so there's a representative named Chad Ingalls, who's a Republican from Iowa Falls, I think. And Ross Wilburn, a state representative on the floor, said, if anybody wants to talk to me about what it's like to parent a trans child, ask me. And Chad Ingalls, to his credit, did. He went to Ross, he asked him what it was like, and Chad Ingalls voted no. So these are people who can be swayed when they are able to see and hear the stories that are required if their hearts and minds are open enough to it, right? We also know that the positions that the people at the Capitol right now, the majority in the Capitol hold are not the majority view of Iowans. They don't want to talk about affordable housing or childcare or issues that are really going to affect everyday Iowans, so they play politics. And yes, I'm being sharp, and yes, I'm being partisan for a reason, because it is a partisan issue at the Capitol. It shouldn't be, but that's how it's been divided. And so we're inviting as many as we can to come with us and help us to fight for you and for kids who need our voices and who need to be heard. We don't know what's going to happen this legislative session. I will tell you that last year on the day of the gender-affirming care ban, I just want to give you a sense for what it's like up there. On the day of the gender-affirming care ban, I was on the floor of the House and I was watching Republican legislators go down to the governor's office one at a time. They were called down, like to the principal's office. And I heard them on the floor saying, are you going to vote for this? No, I don't think, I think it's dumb. Or one of them said, I have to because the governor wants me to. And I just need you to know where this is coming from, right? So they walked down one at a time. And next thing I know, they were all voting for it. And then the governor went on the news. And she started to cry. Because it was so hard to sign this bill. It hurt her heart. And my staff showed me the video of her crying on the news right before I went into a press conference. And as I said, this was the hardest day in the legislature when this passed of my 6 years, five and a half. And I went out there and I was doing a very good job of not showing my fury, not showing my anger. And then Kay Henderson with a register said, or with a Radio Iowa said, what do you think about the governor saying it was really hard to sign this bill? And I paused and I looked in the back of the room and saw my staff just looking at me. And I said, you know what? I call bullshit. And I just said, I just can't think of another word for it because she's just not being ingenuous, right? These are problems. There are problems that are facing the state. And this is not one of them. But instead of dealing with those issues, they're doing this, right? And so I did do that. And then afterwards, I looked at my staff and they were like, yep, okay, well, we're just going to deal with this now because you just cussed on TV. And it turns out that's really good video. Did you know that? Yeah. So it was my first time going viral on TikTok. And, you know, so obviously, if you want my autograph, you can have it after. But I will tell you that I got a lot of feedback from people. I got a call from my mom. Phone rang and I was like, here we go. And she said, Jennifer Christine. So I knew I was in trouble. And she said, we did not raise you to speak like that. Okay, well, Jim, I was raised by a reporter. Okay, I mean, I guess I was raised to speak like that. So I said, well, that's bullshit, Mom. And she said, but you know what? I've been thinking a lot about what you said and why you said it, and I can't think of a better word. So you say it whenever you want. The feedback I got from people about fighting back and showing fight, frankly, it encouraged me to do more of it because people want to see that we're fighting, and we are, okay? We are fighting every single day. So we go to the Capitol. We get these bills. Our hearts hurt. We cry. We get upset. We go home. This room might appreciate, some of you might, that I'm in therapy weekly. Everybody wants to know, how do you survive this? Well, clearly, got to see Natalie once a week. And she has me picture the board, the voting board, and know that we're going to lose. And she has me imagine every one of those red votes as a kid. And that we're there fighting for that kid. So there might only be 36 or 37 red votes, but they're representing the kids whose voices aren't being heard. And that helps me feel like we're moving the needle, right? Things like the Chad Ingalls and Ross Wilburn story help me feel like the needle can be moved. They are behind, the people behind these policies are behind the curve, right? Iowans are concerned about things like clean water and making sure that they have health care and making sure they can pay their mortgage and send their kid to school in a great public school. They don't care about these issues. They care about how they can live their daily lives. And that's why we know this is politics. So a couple more things and then I'll take questions. I wanted to talk with you briefly about public education. So this is why I first ran for office. I'm a graduate of Johnston High School way back in the day. There were 99 kids in my class at Johnston back then. That's how small it was. And I was one of five Jennies because it was the 90s, 80s. But we were... you know, I went to public school, and when I was in elementary school, my mom moved me here or sent me to live with my dad so that I could go to quality public schools in Iowa. And we've seen attacks on public education at the Capitol that are despicable. And this latest attack is school vouchers. So we've seen, of course, the directing of public money, our dollars, to private schools. So you all know, this room does, that the richest family in Des Moines can send their kid to kindergarten at a private school on your dime, even though they can afford it. And that money comes out of public education money. So it is absolutely against what all Iowans think. We've been traveling the state to small towns, big towns, everywhere in between. And at every town hall, they say, what is the deal with these school vouchers? So we're going to hold them accountable on this. And I'm feeling good about the election, but this is not an election talk. So I'm not going to go into that. But I will tell you that I'm feeling like some balance might come back to the state house. We're working on bringing balance back. I'm not saying let Democrats take over. I'm saying let Democrats to the table and let us have some equal conversation where we can find compromise. Because that's what you and Iowans across the state are begging us to do, is just fix things, focus on what we need. And so that's what we're going to try to do. We're going to keep pushing. The last thing I'll say is this. There are many days when it's really hard. Many days. But let me tell you about a message I got from he's now a senior, a freshman in college, but a message I got from a trans kid who saw our debate. And he said, we lost today, but I won because I saw people fight for me in public, on the floor, with passion. They saw me and I feel seen. That is such a low bar for him. Everyone should feel seen. But he was able to take a moment that was devastating and turn it into a moment that had hope. And that's what we're trying to do every day up at the Capitol. So I could go on and on and on, but I also do have another speech in West Des Moines in 15 minutes. So I'm going to take some questions for as long as I can until I get yanked out of here with a hook. So I'm happy to take questions. I know that I didn't go into everything, but I wanted to be respectful of your time. So yes, sir.
Thank you. The governor has said she wants to eliminate the individual income tax, which accounts for between 40 and 50% of our state revenue. Mm-hmm. The taxpayer relief fund would deplete in a few years. Are any of the Republicans talking about where the money is going to come from or how this is going to impact services?
Right. So that's exactly the point, right, is that this isn't thought out. This isn't, you know, long-term thinking. I mean, taking a long-time expenditure from a one-time fund is like saying you're going to pay your mortgage without a job and you're just going to clean your savings account. Hopefully it'll get refilled someday, right? It's just not good governance. We're hearing this about the income tax. We know the sales tax would go up just exponentially. Double digits, which would hurt Iowa's families most in need. You need to know that the tax cuts that have already been passed, 500,000 Iowans won't see a dime. And guess what? They're not the 500,000 richest Iowans, okay? So we're going to keep fighting to find some common sense here. I don't know that the issue of eliminating the income tax is going to make it this year, but we'll see. I don't see that there's a lot of appetite for that in the House, but we'll see. But yeah, that's her. No one's talking about where it's coming from because this is governing by headline. This is politics, not policy. I mean, look at what happened with the school vouchers or the Don't Say Gay bill book ban bill that has now been paused in the courts because they didn't think about how to implement the bill. They wanted the headline. And that's not governing. We can do better than that. Other questions? Now that I've saved the income tax. Yes.
How might the Republicans be gaming the system in which they call meetings that they only allow Republicans in and don't even let the Democrats be a part of it? Is that happening? And what other things are they doing?
No. So, I have to say that in the House, we have a pretty good relationship procedurally with the majority party. They understand, the majority leader at least understands the importance and role of the minority. And we work together closely on that. In fact, we worked together to fix a bill last year, which never happens because they don't invite us into the collaborative process. But I think that the biggest disappointment for me is that Iowans are wanting us to get together and get stuff done. And when you hear that there's a bipartisan vote on a bill, I need you to know that doesn't mean there was bipartisan collaboration on drafting the bill, right? We aren't invited to do so. So we've introduced several pieces of legislation, and we have 12 more to introduce about affordable housing and childcare costs and ways to lower costs for Iowa families. They won't see the light of day. So if we really want to start getting things done, let's consider for a moment that a Democrat might have an idea worth doing. And so that's where I get frustrated, is that I think folks think we're just fighting about stuff 10% of the time, but it's really that we're just not even at the table, which I know is the part of the minority, but also I think Iowans expect, certainly my 31,000 constituents expect, that I'm able to get something done up there. Anything else? Hi, Matt. Supervisor, excuse me. That's my supervisor.
Will there be any renewed efforts to talk about gun safety and gun legislation?
Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously it's devastating what happened in Perry. The time to talk about gun legislation was before that happened, of course. We as Democrats have introduced several pieces of legislation, as you know, regarding red flag laws, regarding a lot of things. We did not support the strict scrutiny amendment. We did support the Second Amendment, but not the strict scrutiny, more the higher profile amendment. We have an appetite for it. We can talk about it. We have a lot of ideas and a lot of really good ideas that I think Iowans would agree with, some common sense things, right? We don't know about this situation, what would have caused it or what would have prevented it. But I would say that the only good thing to come out of this, maybe politically, we won't get something done, but maybe it will stop some worse things from happening. You know, maybe the guns on school grounds bill that, you know, didn't make it through the last session, maybe it doesn't make it again, because maybe people will see how ridiculous it is using this example. I don't want to, but, you know, if that's possible, let's look at that. But no, we should be doing a lot more. We're ready. We got ideas.
I have a question from Zoom.
Yeah,
from
Zoom. Jonathan Wilson.
Yes. What is your role in recruiting good candidates and fundraising for them?
Absolutely. Great question. Thank you, Jonathan Wilson. I admire you and have watched your career for a long, long time. We are recruiting candidates across the state. We have 100 seats to recruit for, and we've recruited in a lot of our target areas. We're really trying to bring that balance back, and we're finding a lot of success in the suburban areas of the state, as you might imagine. So West Des Moines, Urbandale and Dallas County, Bondurant and Altoona, Burlington, and out in the Davenport Scott County area. So we see some low hanging fruit there, some places where Republicans just haven't voted with their constituents, and we're going to make them hold them accountable for that. So we're having a pretty good fundraising year or recruiting year. We're ahead of schedule, which always makes me a little nervous, for mid-March, which is in the filing deadline. And then for fundraising, we've actually had a pretty good year. You know, we've seen that Democrats nationally have sort of given up on Iowa for now. Temporarily, if anybody has that, you know, have them call me. I got a lot of data to show that we're a purple state. But so we've been having to be a little more homegrown, and we found that we can do that. Iowans are fed up. Iowans are tired. Iowans want balance. And they think that this has all gone too far. There's a gentleman named Annie McKean who is a Republican in the Iowa House and then switched parties after Trump. And he's running again he lost in 2020, but he's going to run again. And he said he's knocking on doors up in Northeast Iowa, and everyone's saying, I'm a Republican, but it seems like they've gone too far. I think we need some balance. We need some common sense voices up there to counterbalance. That's what I want to hear, right? I'm not here to say it should be one party rule on the other side. I'm here to say, let's come to the table together.
Beyond whining at home and talking to our neighbors, what can we do to get involved and actually help advance what you're trying to do?
Thank you so much. Well, and we're trying to do it with a lot of great coalition partners, but I will tell you that whining at home is good for the soul. Screaming at the TV is fine. You should do that, too. If you get a chance to be on TV, you should call bullshit on the governor. I mean, that's just, you know, good advice. And but you can reach out to us, even if you're represented by a Democrat or by a Republican who supports the issues that you're calling about. Let us know. We still want to hear from you, because, and then let other people know, let chairman of committees, and these action alerts from One Iowa will give you some sense too. But don't underestimate the power of even an email or a call to the office or a visit to the Capitol. I know that sometimes the Capitol isn't the most welcoming place, and so emails and phone calls are also absolutely welcome. I will tell you, you can also share content on social media. Republicans are much better at social media sometimes than we are when it comes to being on message, and we're working on that, right? We've got consistent messages. We're going to put people over politics. I don't know if I've mentioned that. But so you can share those pieces. So I don't, everybody probably knows this, but if there's a post on Facebook, and I've had to tell my mom this, but you probably all know, and it's one you hate, it's the governor saying something terrible. And if you comment on it, this is the worst thing I've ever seen, or you do an angry reaction to it, or you share it, you're helping her get 1,000 more people to see it. So the best thing to do is ignore it. You're not going to win a fight in the comments, I promise. And go like and share some content from like-minded organizations. It's just a way to get the word out there and silence, you know, let's just not amplify their messaging. So that's one thing that you can do at home while yelling at the TV. Probably time for one more. Oh my gosh, hello everyone. Yes, sir.
We keep hearing about people in the rural areas moving to the cities.
Yeah.
Why do the rural areas still have all this power when their population keeps diminishing?
So that's a great question. This is about rural-urban divide at the Capitol. I would say that rural-urban divide is probably a little more pronounced at the Capitol than it is in the real world, just because of how things work up there. I would say it's a trend that is the legislature is just a little behind on, right? So we now know after the last census that 53% of Iowans live in cities and suburbs. And so we're not even a majority rural state anymore. There are some coalitions that are being built, again, based on politics and base vote turnout and things like that, that allow for some pretty straightforward messages to be communicated in rural Iowa, and some things that are told to them that maybe don't match the reality of living in rural Iowa. But I will tell you that school vouchers and abortion policy are things that rural, urban, and suburban Iowa disagree with the majority party on in large, large numbers. And so when we go into a small town, we remind them that that school down there that's the hub of your community, that is where every Halloween party is, every, you know, Saturday bake sale, everything you do in this community is at that school. When money's getting taken away from schools, it's not Johnston High School that's going to get closed. It's the small school in a rural community. And they know that. And they value those schools. And they feel like it's simply not fair. Because I think there are 41 counties in Iowa that have private schools, and that's all. So this education issue is one that I think will really bridge that divide in ways that are a little more common sense. So I'm sorry that I have to go to this next speech. I could talk with you all day. But Jake is now standing up in the back, ready to take me. Hello, everyone. Say hi to Jake. But I just need to tell you that please know that when we are there, we are fighting for you and others in ways that we are proud of and in ways that we will not back down from. You have voices at the Capitol, and we're going to bring more. So thank you guys so much.